going into the new year, it is, we have all of these different things. You know, what makes a big deal about the new year? Like, what's the big deal of it being a new year? Okay, yeah, you have to try to remember to write the right dates on checks and make sure that you write the right date on paperwork. I always mess that up, at least for the first couple months, and then it gets into practice. But, like, so that's one part that you kind of, you can link with the new year. Maybe you have the thought of new year, new me. Everybody's at least heard that once in their life, you know, whether that be through the television or whatever, honestly, social media, other people in the church. I work with teenagers. I've heard that at least a couple times. Whether they stick with it or not, that's up for debate. But what makes it such a big deal is you have all of these different things that people are trying to do, these New Year's resolutions, where they're trying to do something better for themselves. I work for the Walton County Parks and Rec Department. I work at the community centers. I see actually a handful of the church members here actually at those centers. I get to actually, you know, stop for a moment in my day, talk with them for a bit, say hi, you know, just get to chat with them. And this last week, while it has not been the new year, and I haven't worked since last year, I guess you could say, I've actually started seeing new people. Like, you have those regular people that you see all the time, but I'm already seeing people who had forgotten that they had a membership, and they realized, oh, I haven't paid my membership, and I got to go back and actually try to get back in the new groove for the new year. They're trying to work out, you know, maybe for New Year's resolutions, you have people who are trying to spend less money. You know, everything is getting more expensive. Maybe, you know, for the Christian side of things, we go into the new year, and we look at, what can we do better? Can we go out and try to read our Bibles more? If I'm correct, I don't know exactly how many people actually completed reading through the Bible this year, but for both my Sunday school class and this church, we have just different groups that come in and they are given a certificate for reading through their entire Bible. Like my Sunday school, we give out a little something for those who read through the entire Bible. You know, that maybe that's one of your goals. Maybe it's we're trying to make it where we go out and we reach more souls. We go out and we try to, you know, hand out more tracts, you know, invite more people to church. You know, every time you stop at a gas station, you're going to say, I'm going to talk to that person right there across from me. Maybe that's one of our New Year's resolutions. Or maybe we want to do more around the church. Get involved in a ministry. Get involved in something that, you know, oh, God opened this door to where I can actually teach a class, or God opened a door where I can actually come and help, you know, take down Christmas ornaments. We actually had, you know, other than the teenagers, we had a couple of families come and help us take down Christmas ornaments and help put up and pack up everything to try to make us get done quicker. We got done at 1:47, which in my mind, that's amazing for getting everything that you saw up here taken down and put up. You know, maybe your New Year's resolution is to help out more in the church. The new year is a time for, as one thing that I like to say, it's a time for second chances. Where God gives you a second chance to do better. And to be honest with you, he gives us way more than a second chance. Going into each year, it's a start of what can we do better? What can we do better for God? He gives us more than just second chances. What is a sign of a new year? You have those second chances. You have all of these different things, but none of that really matters because where is your heart? Where is your heart going into this new year? Where do you stand? Are you in the ruts? Are you in the ditches? Are you going down the right path? You know, I know that with like my grandfather's house, if you think of like a rut, I think of like the biggest hole that you can't get out of. We got a gully. That's what we call it. It's a big old hole. Are you standing in that to where you struggle to crawl out, or are you going down the right path? That's what's going into this new year. Going into a brand new year, what can you change? So there in the Bible, we have many examples, and I'm only going to go over a few because I am limited on my time, and I've timed myself with this lesson several times, and it's always going over, so I know I'm limited. So I'm only going to mention a few of these. Some people that changed. If y'all want to open your Bibles, I'm going to be a bit of everywhere tonight. So if you want to keep up, all I have to say is good luck. And also it might help if you want to try to write them down to look them back up later if you're taking notes. So starting in Acts chapter 9, this is going over Saul, also known as Paul. In verse 1 and 2, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughtered against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." So this is talking about where he's going out, and it's literally saying, verse 1, out threatening and slaughtering. Going out and committing these heinous acts of killing out Christians. Going and breaking, you know, as we know, you know, thou shalt not kill. Going out and killing. Going out and taking out these Christians. This even says in verse 2, it says, "This way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." It doesn't matter what gender you are. He's taking you bound back to Jerusalem. It doesn't matter. In verse 20, though, I'm going to skip all the way to verse 20. After he's already been blinded and his sight brought back, and God telling him, "You're not doing the right thing." In verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Is that not a change? Going from one entire way to another, where he is going from killing and murdering to being one of the most well-known people in the Bible, to where he's going out and he's telling people that Christ is the Son of Man, or the Son of God. He is a Son of Man too. But going out and telling people, telling churches about Christ, telling all of these different churches and all of these different groups of what Christ did for them. Is that not a change? Moving down, Mary Magdalene, if you go to Luke chapter 8, like I said, I'm going to be in many, many different places tonight, but Luke chapter 8. Verse 2. And then we'll jump further down. So this is talking about Mary Magdalene. It says, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." Had a person who, Mary Magdalene, who's well known in the Bible as well, had seven devils cast out of her. Whether that brought, you know, sores, boils, whatever that part was, that being the start of her story, where you see her in the beginning. Later in John chapter 20, if y'all want to switch there, it is, like I said, keeping up is a little bit iffy. John chapter 20, verse 16 and 18. Not even I had the right one labeled. So John chapter 20, verse 16 and 18 states, "Jesus said unto her," Mary, "she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Going from the point of where she has all of these problems, all of these things going on with her, to then being one of the few people that gets to see Jesus Christ after he was raised from the dead. Getting to that point in her life, I say that's amazing. Going from one point to then. Finally, I'm not going to go into the beginning of this person's story because it's quite long. But David, many of y'all actually probably think immediately of where I'm going with this. But David committed adultery. He committed one of the more evil sins that we see. He committed adultery. Now, he started out his life, you know, really, really nice, going after God, but he committed adultery, ended up having the wife's husband killed out at war, all of these different things in 2 Samuel. You have that. Going into Psalms 51:10, though, it actually talks about what he did after all of that. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He went into God and he repented. As it actually states, I don't know if your Bibles are labeled this way, verse 7 to 12, it actually says it's a plea for cleansing. It actually starts out in verse 7, Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquities. I would say if you have somebody coming unto you and he's pleading in that way, is that not change? Is that not a want to be different? How are we going into this year? How is it? How are we going into this new year? It is January 4th. We have 361 days left in the year. What are we doing with it? We have all of this time where we have ways to improve, where we have ways to go forward. What are we doing with it? Are we standing tall where God puts us, or are we falling? Are we brightening our horizons, or are we just staying where we're comfortable? Or are we growing, or are we accidentally killing the crops that we try to plant? I'm sure many of y'all, whether that be you yourself or maybe grandparents or great-grandparents, went and actually planted out seeds. You go out and you plant seeds. What kind of seeds do you have to try to replant every year? I had some written down to ask my dad because we have this big field at my grandfather's. I haven't seen it since I've been born, but they used to grow corn, tons of corn. And he's like, yeah, that's one thing that you have to try to grow, that if you have to replant, you have to pick up everything, you got to replant it and water it and let it grow each and every year. It's not something that comes back. It's not, so, you know, you also have corn, beans, cucumbers, but all of these things, all of these tiny little seeds, you have to replant them every single year. What have you done to make sure we're renewing ourselves? What have we done? Just as a crop needs to be checked in on and sometimes replanted, sometimes we do. Sometimes we're the ones that need that. Going into this new year, how are we looking at ourselves? Do we need to take the ground that we're planted in, step out and redo the ground, redo the soil, pull out the weeds, make things new? What do we need to do? How do we change as a Christian to make sure that we are fruitful. Now, I'm looking out at the congregation. I see, you know, many of y'all every single night, every single time y'all are here. I'm sure that almost, I can't speak for everyone, but looking out at the congregation, I would say all of us, if not everyone in here, is saved. Just looking at all the familiar faces, all the people I know, all the testimonies I know, all of us are saved in here. I can't speak for everybody, because that is between you and God, but just from me looking out, that's what I see. So first, going into it, being a new creation means that we get new actions. Regardless of if you were saved 5 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 years ago, or 2 days ago, being a new creation comes with new action. Now, what comes with being that new creation, if you would like to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What needs to come out? What needs to come out of us? Whether that be, you know, what needs to come out and die? What habits are pulling us away from Christ? What are those things that are taking away our time from Christ? Now, I'm sure many of y'all have heard lessons like this all the time, and I call it a recap lesson. It's something that you have heard a million times, that you have heard, you know, year after year after year. But even going into this new year, we still need to be reminded of it. Just as Brother Chad teaches justification and sanctification, he'll make sure by the time you left his youth group that you had that in the back of your head. So even if you know that you need to do it, here's your sign. Here's your sign to go out and figure out what is taking your time away from God. Go into your life and see what needs to come out and die. What fields in our lives have stopped us from producing fruit? What has stopped us from going in the areas that we need to go in? If you actually are going out and you're tending to a field of corn, what actually needs to happen with that once you're done, you know, taking away all of the crop for that year, and you're left with all of the husks on the ground, maybe some corn that wasn't really good? You have to clear out the area. This is the time coming into the new year. This is the time coming into the new year to clear out your area, to clear out what God has given you. Make sure that you're starting anew, going into the new year with the right mindset. Hebrews 12:1 states, and is broken apart into a way that honestly I absolutely love. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily best us, and let us run with a patience the race that is set before us. Breaking apart that section, breaking apart those verses, or I didn't even go into verse 2, but breaking apart that verse 1, cloud of witness, the example of faith in the Old Testament, to where it encourages believers, lay aside every weight, get rid of anything that slows you down in your spiritual journey. Not just sin, but worldly distractions or hindrances. The sin which doth so easily best us. Specifically removing that sin that easily entangles us or hinders us. And then actually verse 2, which just looking at the first part, it says, look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Making sure to keep your focus on what matters. Now, Brother Chad actually, in the few moments that he was up here, he actually said Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seeking Christ first. Seeking Christ into your first year. What is the first things that you should do when you go into the new year? What are those actions? Where do we stand? When studying for this lesson, I actually did a Christmas Eve, or I guess a Christmas lesson for my grandparents' church a couple weeks back. I was thinking, what if I'm going to be doing a New Year's lesson? I'm kind of thinking of what happens if I get called to ask for like a New Year's lesson. Oh, that brought so many different ideas to my head. I'm like, okay, what can I do? What would that bring? I'm like, well, going into the new year, you'd probably just want to say, thank you, God, for allowing me to make it another year. Thank you, God, for, you know, I know that you didn't come back this year, that you didn't come down from heaven to get us, but thank you for making us come, like, live another year and to be able to worship you another year. Going and seeking the kingdom of God first with your actions. Secondly, crops don't grow by themselves or by accident. They grow out of a purpose. How are you growing? Are you growing out of a purpose or out of a, I just want to be here? I feel like I need to be at church. I feel like I need to be at this event. You know, are you going and working at these church events because you feel like you're forced to or because you want to? Are you wanting to reach out to other people because like, oh, I want to be like that person over there that's doing that? What are your reasons behind it? I will say this. Spending time in God's word is one of the most important things that we can do. Secondly, praying consistently, not occasionally. On a consistent basis, having that consistent relationship. I've actually had this one thing nailed in my head over the years working with Stephen. He actually said it this morning. And he may not exactly know where I'm going with this. In children's church, he always says, try to do, if you want to have consistency, if you want to have consistency with what you want to get accomplished, try it for a month. Do it for a month straight. You want to get good at reading your Bible? Do it for a month. After that, the puzzle pieces will just keep falling into place and you'll want to do it more consistently. So pray consistently, not occasionally. Serve where God has placed us. Where are we placed? Right here in this moment, this community, this church, Walton County. That is where we are. That is where we are placed. Serve where God has placed us. And this is one that I also think about since I've been working with kids for many years. Love people even when it's uncomfortable. Love people even when it is probably the most awkward or uncomfortable situation that you have ever been in. I know a lot of introvert Christians. They like to be at home. They like to sit in their couch. They don't like talking to people, and even when they like and when they go and talk to people, they're like, "Oh, I'm done for the day. I'm done talking to those people for now." Go out and love the people that we are set around, even when it's uncomfortable. I won't turn to this just so I can wrap up here, but 2 Peter 3:18. If you actually go to that verse, it's saying growth is a commandment, not a suggestion. It actually pulled it up. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As Christians, growth is a commandment, not a suggestion. It is something that we are supposed to do on a consistent basis. Something that we're supposed to do as we get older, as, you know, regardless of what age you are, there's always room to grow. You talk to these preachers that have been preaching and reading and studying the Bible for 50, 60 years, and they even say, I'm still learning from it. Then why can we not grow? Is that not what we should be doing on a consistent basis? With 2 Peter 3:18, growth is a commandment, not a suggestion. Third, as a Christian, are we not supposed to live like we've actually been changed? Going into this new year, I know that we work around teenagers on a consistent basis. We work around kids on a consistent basis. And let's be honest, we work around adults that act like kids on a consistent basis. And regardless of that, we still need to act like we've been changed. Paul did not just meet Jesus. His direction changed. Mary Magdalene did not just get delivered. Her devotion changed. David did not just repent. His heart posture changed. And the list could go on and on and on for so many different Bible, like from different Bible stories that you read. Being a new creation means several different things. It means walking differently, speaking differently, responding differently, and choosing obedience over comfort. Choosing that obedience to do something that we may not feel exactly comfortable to go do. I know that many teachers that I've been around throughout the years in children's church and different churches and different Sunday schools, they're like, I didn't know what I was doing when I got into it, and now I've been doing it for happy 10 plus years. It was uncomfortable in the beginning, but then God showed me the way. How are we going about it? So I ask you this, to ask yourself daily, does this action reflect the old me or new me in Christ? After you ask yourself that, then choose accordingly. Choose accordingly what the right answer is. Everybody in here, I believe, would know that answer, to go after God, to go and strive after God. And finally, just as I leave tonight, this year, don't just claim a new title. Don't claim that new title that you have in your head. Oh, I'm going to go work out. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. I'm going to say I'm going to be the best me. Don't just claim that title. Live a new testimony. Live that new testimony that God has set for you. Go in the direction that He is pointing you. Don't just sit in comfort when God is calling. Don't let your field stay unfruitful when God has given you fresh soil. Don't let that be the case. As we step into this new year, let us not just say that we are a new creation, let us prove it. Prove it by our fruits we produce, because a new year does not mean that we have a new heart. And maybe just in this service, maybe there is somebody that there is unsaved in here. Maybe there is somebody in here that actually is unsaved. And for this year, for you, for whoever that may be, even if they're watching online, whoever that may be, your first step is to just seek after God. I'm going to leave with this, John 15:16, and then we'll be done. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That we have purpose. This verse saying right here that we walk away, that we go into it with purpose. Go into this new year, try to have a purpose for our actions. Go into this year and try to go in the right direction that God is pointing us, but also to have growth. Because we're wanting to continue to grow as Christians, continue to reach out to people, and continue to try to do the right thing and get people saved. Get people in here. And finally, see your lasting fruits. Try to come out of next year with lasting fruits. Not just ones that are like the ones that you have to plant every single year, but something that will last, that will go on for years and years and generations. Come out of next year with something better. Because as I said, a new year does not mean a new heart.